You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. What's happening, Corey?
What's the deal? How's everything going this morning, Mr. Sussman? Glad to be here this morning. Shout out to LaMelo and LiAngelo Ball. They made their professional debut in Lithuania. Each of them scoring in double figures. Had some assists and some rebounds. So
you missed the turnovers.
And some turnovers, too. That happens. A part of it, Greg. Don't
it
do
is.
That.
Yes.
So shout out to them for their professional's debut in Lithuania.
Shout out to over 100,000 people that watched LiAngelo and LaMelo and their debut in Lithuania.
Well, there you go right there.
The big baller brand on the middle of the court. The big baller brand on the jerseys. The big baller brand on the refs, uniforms.
Shout out to big baller brother. Big brother last night, who was like 2 of 11 from the field.
Yeah, yikes.
But filled up the stat sheet. And if you're like fantasy basketball, we put up like 30 points or something.
Yeah, you know, Lonzo gets it done, actually, in the win for Sacramento. Because his stats last night, as Matt said, 2 for 10. He had 11 assists. He had 11 rebounds, despite just the 5 points. He, you know,
he was 5 points away from a triple double.
In there too.
I apologize for skipping.
But isn't
the block.
That great? Like he had 5 points, and in fantasy he equaled like 30.
I know. It's
well,
crazy.
It's great. It's a great stat because he had 5 steals. It was a really nice.
Oh, yeah, he had a good game, man. Yeah,
he did have a good game. The Lakers crushed the Kings actually, 99-86.
All of a sudden, they're on a 2-game winning streak. You know who they have. You know who they had to thank for that.
Probably Kentavious Caldwell-Pope because he's allowed to play.
Oh, that's what it is.
Do you know that story?
No,
I didn't even know that. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah.
Was like arrested, and it was like I guess pretty serious, and he's not allowed to leave the state of California.
Oh, really?
So he can play home games, but they leave, he can't go.
What did he do?
I have to.
What was he accused of?
No, well, I mean, he's serving. He's serving, evidently, so.
Well, yeah, he's charged.
He was charged and, you know, plead or found guilty.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I'm going to have to look that up.
You should look that up. It's really interesting.
I want to say for the first, like, week or so of January, everybody has, like, holiday depression.
Yeah.
You wake up, it's dark. You go home, it's dark, and, you know. I'm excited for this weekend. You know, we got
great
the best
playoffs.
Football weekend heading up. You know. Baseball's getting closer. We got the Olympics next month.
It's a lot going on, so I feel good about it. And then, if you haven't noticed, at 5 o'clock, it's still light outside on the East Coast.
I'll tell you this. This morning when we walked here, it was nice.
It was.
It was light. I saw some light.
We're changing. It's daylight saving time. It's like 6 weeks now.
Baseball's coming in fantasy. Exactly.
Baseball's coming.
We got to start doing sprints.
We got to start getting ready.
You train Scott. He's going to have to train
me.
I'm excited. I mean, we're getting there. We're diving a little bit more every day.
But I think Corey's an easier like student.
Oh, yeah, Scott is. Scott is hard-headed.
Scott is stubborn.
Yeah, Scott is hard-headed.
Corey would be like, oh, that's interesting.
I'd be like, I'm good. Let's go with it.
That's cool. Let's keep that going.
See, there's nothing difficult about getting an education. The information is given to you for the most part.
Which is the best kind of Scott?
The Kango Scott. That's my favorite Scott is Kango Scott. It's another Scott. It's eSports Scott now, too.
Yep.
I saw Kango Scott yesterday.
Oh, you saw Kango Scott yesterday?
Cool. He'll be in the building today as well.
Oh, Kango Scotty.
All right, gentlemen.
It's day shift Scotty.
Let's get into it when we come back here on the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
With you back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network,
Roto Experts.
This is also the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, but it is the
same thing.
Well, the Roto Experts are a program on that show.
Flagship Studio 34.
Flagship program.
It is the flagship program. I wrote a description for this program, like the flagship program of this network.
I've been doing this for a long time.
Very long time. I feel like...
I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, I feel like you just, you know, you're excited about other
things. I've
been
doing this program just about as long as I've been knowing my daughter.
Yeah, that's actually true. How does that make you feel?
Well, apparently they... I'm about to say apparently they like me, but then again, you don't know. You don't. I mean, something happened last year where they was like, I really don't like you. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I'm just glad to be here still.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. I wanted to... Matt brought up Lonzo Ball before, so I wanted to start with some fantasy basketball before we got into the football. Once we get on YouTube, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Carolina, because I think it's super interesting for what we've been talking about all year. So we're going to do that coming up in about 10 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to start with the NBA, and I wanted to start... there's only four games last night, so I wanted to kind of take a look back before we take a look forward for tonight. And taking a look back, Lakers defeated the Kings last night, 99-86. It was good to see Julius Randle back in the starting lineup. He had 22-14 with 6-6, did have the 6 turnovers, but he severely outplayed Kyle Kuzma, which is the important thing. Because as long as Randle's playing well, that means...
That's those minutes are going to drop.
For Kuzma,
yeah, for Kuzma.
Exactly. Kuzma saw 9-5 with 3 assists, 3 steals off the bench, but it was 24 minutes while Julius Randle had the 30 and, you know, had his awesome all-around game. That's the important thing. Now, again, they played the Kings, so I don't know what you want to take out of that, but I thought that was interesting. I thought it was interesting that Brooke Lopez, who I never want because he played 20 minutes a game, he's old
and he's beat up.
Right. He had... 5 3-pointers. Like, what does the world come to when Brooke Lopez has made 5 3-pointers and he took 8 of them?
See, that's today's NBA. I'm not really a big fan of that. Dude stepping out there and just jacking it up, especially guys that can get control down there in the paint like that. So, listen, that's the way the game is trending. But not a fan of it myself. But he should not take 8 threes.
No, he should not.
How many field goals did he have?
He took in total 9.
Which is crazy. When did he become Steph
Curry? He's 7'2".
Yeah.
Took 9 shots, and 8 of which are behind the arc.
Yeah. If I'm the coach, I'm like, what are you doing?
He had 3 rebounds.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing? Go sit down on the bench if you're going to jack
that's
up 3.
That's good defense. Let him take that shot every time.
Yeah, I guess so you can look at it that way. But if I'm the coach, I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
I noticed during the break that KCP, Matt, has been released from his detention center where he was forced to stay for the last month or so. And he is now going to be able to travel to Laker games.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, I don't really know what happened here, so I'm not really going to comment on anything like that. But, hey, the whole thing with the Lakers, what, they dropped 9 straight home games?
Yeah, well, they're very bad.
Yeah. But look, they got the, you know, they're part of the big baller brand family now.
Whether they want to be or not.
Things can only go up from here, right?
It's like, it's crazy. It's like the big baller brand is like the Lakers are under us. Like the Lakers are not, the big baller brand is underneath the Lakers. It's the other way around. They are part of our family.
We're actually talking about Magic Johnson a little bit later on, speaking of the Laker family.
Oh, my goodness.
The big baller brand.
I will say, his Fridays in L.A., was one of the best Fridays I went to.
Oh, and I know Magic Johnson had his own.
I know he had his own Fridays. I didn't know that.
He got his own.
He got his own everything.
Johnson.
He got his own everything.
And that's actually what we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the show. I still own Jordan Clarkson, who played 14 minutes last night, and that's not going to get it done. He's good. I don't understand.
I don't think he's that good.
You don't think he's that good?
I don't think he's that good.
He's just a shooter?
I think so. I don't really think that's kind of about the most he can give you. I don't think he can really stuff the stat sheet. He's like a good player on a bad team. That's the way I look at him. He's just not like... I would like to see him in another environment. I don't know if that would work for him. But a lot of people don't like him better than I do. Don Burns, what do you think about him? Don Burns might have an opinion on him. I'm curious to know what that is. Jordan Clarkson.
Don Burns doesn't care. Brandon Ingram, by the way, he had 15-5-3. Brandon Ingram... had 7 turnovers in this one, and I feel like he just does not live up to the hype of his draft status.
You think it's too early?
Well, it's too early, sure. But I thought the next step would be there, and I don't know that it has been here in 2017-2018. On the year, he's averaging 16-5. Is that enough?
I still think it's some seasoning left to be done with the kid. That's the way I look at it.
Okay.
I'm not ready to... to give the verdict on his game yet.
On the other side of the court, you had the Sacramento Kings, which I think is also an interesting look. I mean, they're brutal because they're brutal every year.
Every year.
But they're young. You had De'Aaron Fox, who's been starting with George Hill because George Hill is out, and he also kind of is terrible. Fox had 15-3, also airballed a shot late in the game, which kind of stinks.
Yeah.
I want to pick up Scott Lubisieri. He had 8-4. Kostas Koufos had 6-15 off
this
the bench.
This team is—you know what this team needs? They need to get lucky in the lottery.
I think you're saying they need a ball. That's what I thought.
No.
I'm shocked that Sacramento's been able to hold on to their team. I really am.
Hold on to who?
The franchise.
Yeah, I mean,
see,
it's been a long time since that cowbell was, you know, really.
Those small market teams like that,
right?
Like OKC,
right?
They have to get lucky in the lottery,
yeah.
And then that player has to want to stay,
right?
Unless you can get enough back for that player when you do trade him to keep the franchise buzzing. But if you do not get those small market teams, if they do not get lucky in the lottery, they're going to continue to be the Sacramento Kings.
But I mean, they got lucky. They got Boogie in the lottery.
They had to move him. They couldn't put nothing around him.
How is that possible?
Huh?
How could you put nothing around him? The Maloof brothers sold this team, so some billionaire owners bought it.
They couldn't put nothing around him.
Nothing. I mean, you look at his team.
And then, I understand Boogie's talent, but, you know, so that is considered getting lucky in the lottery. And he did want to be out there. You saw how much he loved Sacramento and the community. But the problem is, nobody wants to coach that team. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, the coach
nobody wants to coach that team with him there because he's too much of a Boogie.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Dave Yeager's out there now, the former Grizzlies coach. I think he's a good coach. And this team is just not made up of anyone good.
Yes.
Like you have a lot of good college players like De'Aaron Fox and Willie Cauley Stein and Malachi Richardson.
But there's
Buddy
no plan
Hill.
There. You can tell there's no plan there.
Exactly. There's no plan.
What's the prognosis for Toronto? I mean, I know last night they didn't have Lowry, and that was big. They lost by a point,
yep.
Stuff like that. But can they really challenge either the Celtics or the Cavs when push comes to shove in the playoffs?
So I think what's really interesting is that Toronto every year, I mean, they're always the number one and the number two in the East. Now, currently, no one's talking about them, obviously. They're 28-11.
Yeah.
I mean, they're awesome, but the problem is when you get to the playoffs, it's just not enough.
It's not,
you have Lowry, you have DeRozan, who are awesome, and they'll win maybe a game, and that'll be it.
Yeah, it's nothing that Rick. They don't have that. They don't. It's very difficult to beat LeBron James in the playoffs, and it's going to be the same thing to beat the Celtics this year. You know, their best bet, take them to a seventh game and hope that they can get lucky in that situation.
Correct.
But you got to love the fans in Toronto. They love the
very
rappers.
Passionate. Very passionate. Especially,
they
Drake.
Definitely embrace the NBA. Yeah. Unlike Vancouver.
Especially Drake.
Yeah. Well, Drake is a fan of everybody. You saw him at the game the other night, right?
Yeah.
At the alley, rooting for Alabama.
Of course he was. At halftime, put on his Georgia jersey.
Yeah, it is. He's Alabama's his college football team. Kentucky's his college basketball team.
And then the Lakers and the Lakers are probably his basketball team.
That's his
West Coast team. And you got the Cavs.
You got the Cavs. Yeah, the Celtics as well.
The Celtics are probably at some point.
Big Celtics fan. DeMar DeRozan.
Dallas Cowboys.
25-6-4. Delon Wright started for.
Who?
Delon Wright.
Okay.
He started for Kyle Lowry. And Wright, someone Scotty talked about on yesterday when he came on the Roto Experts. He had 13-7-4 filling in for Kyle Lowry. So a pretty solid start in DFS if you threw him out there. Serge Ibaka had 11. You know, I mean, the Raptors fell by 1 point, as Matt said. The Heat only put up 90. They lost Tyler Johnson. He didn't play due to a shoulder injury. It's that left shoulder, which he had surgery on last year. Justice Winslow is still out, and they only play 8 players.
Yeah.
They literally only play 8 guys.
A real short bench, that team. They have a tight rotation. I think it might have been, was it a beef in this game last night? I think it was some pushing and shoving in this game
Tempers flared last night. But my man Bam, I love Bam. I love him last year in Kentucky. I love him this year. Played 33 minutes off the bench. 16 points, 15 rebounds, 5 blocks, 3 assists for Bam.
Yeah, his game is starting to improve. So you gotta like the way he's trending in the right direction. I don't have no season-long fantasy basketball teams, but that's what was his value?
Nothing. Undrafted.
He was undrafted. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he used to be on. You know.
He's owned now.
Yeah, he's owned now. He's playing he's well. Now.
Yeah. You know, it's the problem is the minutes aren't obvious coming with all the injuries that they have right now, and with the type of facing a Toronto team that's big, with the Ibaka up there, and and some of these others, Valanciunas, of course, they needed to play big. And the 33 minutes, I believe, are a near season high. It's not a season high. It's near season high for Bam. And that's why he went off. And his last game against Utah, he played 7 minutes. So that's the problem.
Yeah, the minutes are inconsistent. You have to worry about that. But I do think his game is starting to come together.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Greg Monroe still playing somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Greg Monroe just got traded. He plays for the Phoenix Suns now.
I didn't mean to say Greg Monroe. I meant to say Greg Oden.
Greg Oden did not play anymore. No.
Not even like...
He was like the only young guy that looked older than LeBron.
Not even Pro-Am.
He might play in the Big Three.
He going to play in that big baller league. He going to be a coach.
I'd like to see a stepbrother's version of it with him and LeBron.
That would be awesome.
Josh Richardson only had 6 last night, 6-6. Hassan Whiteside had a nice game. The big guys is essentially why they won this game. Both Bam and Hassan Whiteside got the job done, while Goran Dragic also had a double-double last night for the Miami Heat in their victory. A couple more games to go over, including Russell Westbrook and what he did against Portland with Shabazz Napier. Dallas gets a win, which I know is shocking to everybody. We'll talk all about that coming up later on in the show. But when we come back, something we didn't want to happen, I don't think, happened yesterday. And we'll discuss that with Cam Newton when we come back on the Roto-X.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
My name is Greg Sussman. This is the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. This is Wall Street Matt Modica. And you are inside Studio 34 here in Manhattan as we check in on Cam Newton. Now, guys, we said all year that the one thing that we learned in 2017 was we need to trust the change in the coaching staff. Be like, whoa. This change is going to change a lot. We can't just assume, because they changed the coaching staff, everything that we thought we knew would remain the same. And we gave on Monday a bit of a postmortem when it came to Carolina, right? Like, we talked about how we like Christian McCaffrey because in the passing game, he can catch 100 passes. Corey talked about in the running game, he needs to become a better runner. We talked about how much we like Devin Funchess because we don't necessarily think Carolina's going to bring in anybody. Like, this is what it is. Yesterday, the BFFs, they talked about how much I like Greg Olsen. And what we liked about Carolina was it was really kind of predictable. Cam Newton is going to be Cam Newton, and that's going to be that. And then yesterday, Carolina made the surprising decision, in my mind, to fire Mike Shula and fire Ken Dorsey. We had heard Ken Dorsey's name bandied about as potential offensive coordinator wherever Steve Wilkes went to be the head coach, whether that's New York or Arizona. We had heard Mike Shula really get praised for helping this team get to 11-5 and continue the progression of Cam Newton. And yet yesterday, both are relieved of their duties by, I assume, Ron Rivera, who has gotten more power, with Marty Herney being the interim GM and the team not really having an owner at the moment as Jerry Richardson looks to sell. So, that move really, Matt, to me, came as a pretty big surprise.
It did, but the one thing with Carolina is Cam is unique in many ways. It's Cam's offense, and Cam's going to do Cam things that most quarterbacks can't. I was looking on Twitter yesterday, I believe it was at Graham Barfield, who put out a thing about Christian McCaffrey's running and that the Carolina offensive line was kind of at fault here, too. They didn't give him really any opportunity. He didn't really get a fair share of a good look as far as a running back running the ball this year. Like I've been saying, you can't have 4 carries in a game and then judge somebody. We know what he can do. I can't see him not being utilized there. Olsen's coming back for another year. You got Funchess. I think this team needs to add another wide receiver.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think Corey, when you look at the reason that they could have been fired ultimately, was the inability of that passing game, right? Like, they're a running team, and that's 100% right. Like, Cam's going to Cam. And that's why a lot of the reason they were 11-5, not necessarily this scheme of Mike Shula or the progression of him as a passer by Ken Dorsey. So, which is crazy. Ken Dorsey's a quarterback coach. I remember him at the University of Miami, obviously.
Yeah, he was the quarterback of a very, of a
very,
great,
very great,
of a great
Miami team.
U team.
Mm-hmm. So, it's interesting that they decide now, despite being 11-5 and really having an opportunity to go to the next round, if you know, Devin Funchess can move out of the quicksand and things go their right, things go the right way, and they don't match up with the Saints, they move on to the next round. And yet, here they are firing their offensive coordinator and quarterback coach yesterday.
The offense is not dynamic enough.
Yeah.
The offense is just Cam Newton.
Yeah.
But on the outside, what did it have?
Huh?
What did it have on the outside?
Somebody had to take the fall for it.
Yeah.
Somebody, coming into this season, it was my thing with the Carolina Panthers was, I don't know if Shula's going to be able to scheme this thing up.
We said that.
They said they were going to change the offense, but didn't know what they were going to do with it.
But the thing with that, Corey, with Mike Shula scheming it up, when he became the offensive coordinator there, I feel like we all said that every single year. Like, yeah, literally every year, it was like, oh, God, what is Mike Shula going to do?
But like you said, the situation now is Rivera is the head honcho in the building. So with Rivera having all of this power, Rivera's looking at a situation where, okay, this is an opportunity where I can get in, make a change in offensive coordinator, switch around this staff, especially if I lose my DC. So I have an opportunity here to bring in some new coaches, to bring in some new hires, and try to move this offense in a different direction. They're a good defensive team. They need to get better on the offensive side of the football while you still got Cam in the prime of his career. So I think this is what the reason for the decision. It's not like Shula some can't let go of offensive coordinator. He's not going to be, you know, it's not people knocking down his door this morning to hire him. He's right. Not that guy. So I think they want to get somebody in here that can work with their talent a little bit better. They got to draft better too. They got to get some more pieces, but I don't have a problem with the move.
Speaking of the draft, I have to give the Panthers credit on one thing. They did trade Benjamin. They got a third round and a seventh round from the Bills for a guy they weren't going to re-sign.
Yeah, I think
that was a good move.
It was a very good move by Carolina. I totally agree with that. And before we get into who they could hire, I just want to bring up the fact that they are changing stuff, right? Like, all of this change. What was that going to do to a guy like Christian McCaffrey? I mean, we're going to go over the Roto Experts mock in a little bit. And Christian McCaffrey is a guy that we all talked about potentially drafting, and we've all talked about how we like him in the right spot. What is that going to do to his value before we even get into just the change of offensive coordinators, the change of offense, rather than who's even coming in?
We want to see. I think we have to put pause on that until we see who comes in, because if it's one of the names that they are talking about, that's one of the names that they're talking about, then that could be a very good thing for him, because that coach was known for getting the football to his running backs out the backfield. But the thing about it is that coach is also known for having one primary running back. And if McCaffrey's going to be that guy, he has to be a better between the tackle runner. Has to be. Or else I could see them drafting a running back too and just making that a split backfield. And then that would be a headache.
I could see them drafting another running back. I think, look, they're going to need multiple backs in this offense. That's the way I look at it. I think you got to move on from Jonathan Stewart. He's, you know, he's past that 30-year-old age and stuff like that. I mean, Isaiah Crowell and a Christian McCaffrey on an NFL level, that's a nice backfield to have.
That is,
especially for this team, what they want to do. I mean, maybe it's going to change somewhat, but I don't see a drastic change coming.
I want to see who the hire is going to be, and then we can speculate on some of the guys that are out there and talk about how they like to run offense too.
All right, so who is the hire going to be? When Steve Wilks interviewed for the Giants job, of course, Steve Wilks, the defensive coordinator for Carolina, when he interviewed for the Giants job, you heard, and I talked about this with Jake yesterday in the last 5 minutes of our show, and I said that the two names that you had heard potentially connected with Steve Wilks as the offensive coordinator was John DeFilippo, the quarterback's coach of Philadelphia, who's gotten a lot of love, that maybe he would become the offensive coordinator wherever Wilks goes. Okay, fine. You know, young guy, 39 years old, no problem.
Can I just ask about DeFilippo? How is he catapulting over Frank Reich?
I have no idea.
I'm just curious about that.
Everybody's talking him over Frank Reich, too, and I don't have an answer to that question. But it is what it is, because he's young, he's like McVay and Matt Nagy, and that's the answer. Okay, fine, that's one. And the other name you heard was Norv Turner. And I went off to Jake, I'm like, I can't believe the Giants are going to do this.
Norv Turner's not that bad.
Hold on, let me continue. And I was like, I cannot believe the Giants are going to do this. Almost within an hour, this rumor clearly gets to Carolina as they fire Mike Shula and they fire Ken Dorsey And next thing you know, who's on a plane to Carolina to interview to be the offensive coordinator? 65-year-old North Turner.
North Turner is not as bad as it sounds. North Turner is not like a Jeff Fisher type hire. North Turner is not that type of hire. What I worry about with North Turner is North Turner's is timid in his play calling. He's kind of timid in his schemes. A lot of the stuff that he has that works. Listen, we like the fact that North Turner offenses tend to focus around one main wide receiver target, one main running back target who's going to be a pass catcher, and of course North Turner gets the tight end involved. The Panthers seem to have those pieces in place, but North Turner is not creative in his scheming and his play calling, but you do know where he wants to get the football to. That's one thing about North Turner.
I'll say this.
He's going to, like what he did when he was with Bridgewater, when Bridgewater was last healthy, he really had Bridgewater restricted in the playbook. And I don't think that he should come and take that same approach and bring that same thing to Carolina, because that is going to hurt them more than help them.
I mean, the Vikings offense kind of emerged after
he left.
After he left. Look, he did great with the Cowboys. You want to say they had a great team, whatever, but he's got to get credit. You give credit for the coaches.
Even in San Diego, yeah.
And yeah, like San Diego. But, I mean, is there not new blood? Can we, at some point in time...
So you asked about DeFilippo a moment ago, and I think that is the kind of new blood teams are looking for, a younger guy. You know, when I hear about North Turner, it's crazy to me that... It's not crazy to me, I shouldn't say that, that he's going to get another shot somewhere, because all these guys get another shot somewhere, as Corey pointed out yesterday. But this dude quit on the Vikings. Like, he walked all the way.
He quit on the Vikings, but... And also, too, everybody was... You know, Carson Wentz was going to be an MVP this year. Okay, so DeFilippo, he's the quarterback coach. I get it. But the offensive scheme here in Philadelphia seems to me would work really well in Carolina.
Right.
It's pretty much through the tight end. The tight end is a very big position there. You have Olsen already in. They like to run the ball in Philadelphia. People don't realize it's not a team that wants to throw the ball over 30 times a game. That was not Wentz's thing. So, I mean, if DeFilippo is the guy, then that's great. But I think Frank Reich should be getting at least some kind of... At least got a couple of interviews.
A little Bill's bias over here.
Huh? Yeah. I'm being a turtle. Speak up for you guys.
That's right. Indeed. But yeah, so that bothered me, Corey, that Norv quit on the Vikings, that he walked away. What's that? Some fight with Mike Zimmer, walked away, promoted Pat Shurmur. Then his son was the quarterback's coach. That was Scott Turner. He then walks away from the Vikings or wasn't asked back. And now the two of them together are going to go coach somewhere else. Turner, the quarterback coach, North Turner, the offensive coordinator.
It's the privilege of being a guy that has that kind of leeway in the NFL. It's you know, listen, North Turner presented Troy Aikman at the Hall of Fame. North Turner's the main guy in the NFL. He can kind of write his ticket. He can kind of do what he wants. Mm-hmm. He's known as a guy that's very good offensively. He gets the most out of his talent for the most part. The last stint in Minnesota, he did not let Bridgewater grow. But you come in a situation with Cam Newton, who's already ready. I don't mind North Turner on a team that already is ready, already in place, and has pieces. I don't mind North Turner. And
I'm not, being a... I agree with you. It's one of those things that you say,
you know what he's going to do. You know what North Turner's going to be. It's going to be a number one wide receiver, Greg Olsen. McCaffrey's going to be the pass catcher. I would worry about North bringing in another back to compete with McCaffrey.
I think another back's coming there regardless.
Regardless? If that back is better between the tackle runner, that back could take snaps away from McCaffrey. That's what I worry about.
I can't see them drafting this guy 7th overall and catch 80 passes and moving away from him. If anything, build the offensive line, make it even better, and scheme it for him to succeed. He succeeded in college. I mean, I know it's the Pac-12, or we can say this and that, but I think he's a better runner than he's shown. And I think he needs to get the reps in game to prove.
That's going to be North Turner's job.
If North Turner gets the job.
Yeah, he'll get it.
He will get the job. It'll be interesting to see how
Fisher Turner in New York.
It'll be interesting to see how Norville and Cam coexist. I think that'll be really interesting. That wasn't the only offensive coordinator change yesterday. There's another big one that happened overnight. I'll talk about it with the King when we come back here on the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
with you on Roto Experts. Remember, if you're thinking of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single-entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NBA and NHL free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Speaking of today, the host of Fantasy Sports Today, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. Eastern Time. What, Scott?
I was waiting for you to finish me introducing me.
Okay. The host of Fantasy Sports Today joins us right now. He is the king. He'll be in the building tonight. In the garden as the Knicks take on the Bulls, and also be in the building today to host the Fantasy Sports News Desk with Tony Cincotta, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. It is my buddy Scott Engel. What's up, Scotty?
Good morning, my friend, and it was a busy morning on Fantasy Sports Today, as always, with the overnight news that we're going to talk about that broke about 3:30 a.m. Eastern. We'll talk about that a lot in the NBA. The Raptors were stunned last night with a rare home loss. More esports with the Overwatch League beginning tonight, and the Overwatch League and Twitch signing a 2-year deal to stream all of the matches beginning tonight.
There you go. That league should be very, very interesting. And also make sure you head on to rotoexperts.com. Jake posted the way too early 2018 fantasy football rankings. Later on in our show, we're going to get involved in our 2018 early mock, the earliest mock I've ever done. We did 6 rounds of it. I think that could be fun. We'll talk about that later on today on the Roto Experts program. You heard a little tidbit of it on the Frenzy yesterday. We'll get into it more today on Roto Experts. But Scotty, you alluded to some news of an offensive coordinator change, and I kind of teased it before the break. We had the surprise firing of Mike Shula and Ken Dorsey yesterday in Carolina, but perhaps even more surprising was overnight, in the darkness of the night, Seattle showed Daryl Bevel the door.
Yeah, most people are just waking up to this today, and that's why you got to listen to Fantasy Sports Today, because sometimes news breaks overnight and you want to be the first to hear it. I'll have it for you, and that's why you listen to the Roto Experts in the morning, too, as well. A lot of people are just waking up to this news. I don't know if it was a shock, necessarily. Internally, it seemed like they were going to back him, but externally, Seahawk fans have been wanting to see this for a long time. Bevel has had his ups and downs. There's been some creative play calling over the years. The team was very good in rushing for a long time, but there will always be the shadow of the final play of Super Bowl 49. And this past season, it was just very, very inconsistent. It was unbalanced, and I think they want to go in a new direction. Tom Cable, who's been the offensive line coach too, and this report coming out from KJR Sports Radio overnight, might be the next to go. Is I think the Seahawks want to strike more offensive balance, going into 2018.
There you go. You good?
Can you hear me?
You can use my mic if you like.
All right. There we go, right there. Scott, but why
hey,
not?
Corey, what's up?
Still with you, my man? Scotty, what's up with
you? How are you, brother?
I ain't doing nothing. I ain't making no noise. I'm chilling. I heard you was down here yesterday.
Yeah, I'll be up there again today.
Around what time?
Around 3.
When you leave.
Hey, Scott. You can't blame Bevel when the team ain't had a running back since Marshawn Lynch left.
That's a good point. Yeah. I was about to make that. I'm saying, though, it's like with Bevel, though, his play calling came under question a lot. If you watch the flow of the games, the fact that they lacked offensive balance, et cetera, there was a lot of questionable calls and questionable situations. With Bevel, I think it was a lot of good, and I think it was a lot of bad. I was about to say, though, that the Seahawks have never effectively replaced Marshawn Lynch. The offensive line is an issue, and that's why Cable might be let go, too. But I think it's all part of the issue. Bevel was very up and down with his play calling.
I think it's still a sting about what happened against the Patriots. It's still attached to Bevel. The offensive line is no players. Russell Wilson ate up all the money. There's no running back to speak of. They keep missing with running backs. So I think it's unfair to blame him when he was the coach of a dude that could be the NFL's most valuable player. So I think it's unfair.
Yeah, but that's not the way the Seahawks want to do it. They don't want Russell Wilson carrying 80% of the offense.
And that's
that
their fault.
Gives you good fantasy numbers, you know that. But that does not what they want to do in the NFL. When they were winning big, it's because they wanted to strike more offensive balance. I think they want a clean house as far as money goes. You know, Russell Wilson was paid, but so was a lot of these defensive guys too. You know, some of these guys are coming off the books this year. Cam Chancellor might be done. Michael Bennett might be gone, but Frank Clark is going to step up. I think they looked at Bevel as part of the problem, but not the entire problem.
Well, let me throw this out there, and I agree with what you're saying, Scotty, but doesn't that fall on John Schneider, who's been unable to find a running back, unable to do anything along the offensive line? Like, he's going to cost Darryl Bevel his job, cost Tom Cable his job. I know you've talked a lot about that. Tom Cable is considered one of the better offensive line coaches in the league, and maybe that's true, but we'll never know because he never gives him anything to work with.
Yeah, he does put Cable in a position, but, you know, Cable's also insistent that he can make everybody into a J.R. Sweezy, and it just doesn't happen. But John Schneider's not going anywhere. And look, John Schneider's been hit and miss or two, but, you know, he built this team into what it is, so he does have that as a calling card. You know, he was the guy that drafted, you know, the team that went to back-to-back Super Bowls, so he's not going anywhere. But, yes, they have whiffed on offensive linemen, you know, a lot over the past, you know, say 3 to 4 years. You know, Jermaine Ifedi has been an awful bust.
Yeah, I mean, he's been absolutely brutal. So this is a lot to go around. A lot of changes, obviously, in Seattle. We'll see if Chris Richard gets a job somewhere else, and they could be looking for a defensive coordinator then, as well as the offensive coordinator. So with a change in offensive coordinators for the first time since Jerry Bates was fired the first year of Pete Carroll, they will have a new offensive coordinator and potentially a new offensive line coach with the Seahawks. What direction do you think they go in there, Scotty?
I think, like I was just telling Corey, they're looking to strike more offensive balance. Russell Wilson, you know, in Jake Seeley's early rankings on RotoExperts.com, number 2 fantasy quarterback. But that, like I was telling Corey, that's not what the Seahawks want to see. They want to have offensive balance. They want to have a running game. I think Carroll and Schneider have a vision for what they want to do offensively. And, you know, they tried it with Bevel and they tried it with Cable. It's just not working out. They want to go in another direction. I think acquiring Dwayne Brown was a signal that this team wants to finally address its offensive line issues and stop asking Tom Cable to turn everybody into J.R. Sweezy.
But I agree they want a more offensive balance and probably want to run the ball on the 1 yard line. But I want a name. Like, what name do you want, do you hear, to be the next offensive coordinator with the Seattle Seahawks?
Well, I don't want it to be North Turner, that's for sure. You know, I think I got to do an exploration of what's out there, you know, because a lot of guys are interviewing, et cetera. But, you know, I think it's still kind of fresh here. I think, you know, they want to go with somebody that, you know, probably going to pay more attention to the running game. I don't know if Wilson's going to be a top 3 fantasy quarterback next year.
If they don't have a running game, he will.
That's what they want to see.
If they don't have a running game again, he will.
But you know, that you're looking at it today. I think they want to make a change. They want to bring in either a veteran running back or they want to draft one. I think this team, you know, wants to have a better running game, and that's what they're probably going to emphasize going into 2018.
I think so, too, but we have to see if they bring in a running back and improve that offensive line. You know, and maybe the offense, maybe it will be totally wrong, Scotty. Maybe the offensive coordinator will be like, you know what? I don't want to run. I just want to pass. Like, maybe that's what it'll be.
I really don't see that happening. I think Carroll and Schneider want to have that offensive balance back that they had a few years ago. I don't think they want Russell Wilson gunning it.
They don't never do nothing
we
about
say
it.
This every year.
Schneider should be the one on the hot seat.
They wanted it to happen this year, but it didn't happen.
They wanted it to happen because John Schneider signed Eddie freaking Lacy.
Yeah,
that was a mistake.
Correct.
That was a mistake.
Told you that wouldn't happen. It was a mistake, Scott.
I know. We tell each other all these things. You told me to draft Isaiah Crowell in the first round.
Well, why are you coming for me, huh? Why are you coming for me, Scott?
You just came for me.
I didn't come
for you.
You
just came for me.
No, I did not.
This is a preview of this weekend, 9 to 12 Saturdays.
I just told you the truth about Eddie Lacy, and you denied that fact.
I said it was a mistake. No, I didn't deny it. I said it was a mistake. But this team, they didn't find it this year, but they wanted to find it. They thought they would find it with Lacy and Rawls, but I think they're probably going to go after another running back or two in the offseason.
It could be
Isaiah
Crowell.
They don't like what happened this year. It could be, I don't know, you know, maybe they give DeMarco Murray a crack. I don't
Ooh,
know.
Ooh, I'd rather go Isaiah Crowell than to beat up DeMarco Murray.
I probably would, too.
Yeah, I would also.
I think
Crowell would probably, I said this during the trading deadline, I said I would have liked to see them acquire Crowell. If you could put Crowell in the right situation, he can be a better running back. He was in a bad situation the last two seasons in Cleveland. If they bulk up the offensive line and they bring in an Isaiah Crowell, I think that's what they want to do.
We'll see what happens there. Major changes coming for Seattle. What did you think of Mike Shula getting fired in Carolina?
Yeah, I think that's been a long time coming. You know, they have some talent there. They need a more creative mind in there, and I don't think it's North Turner.
Yeah, you know, and at 65 years old, North Turner doesn't exactly bring in a lot of fresh ideas, but, you know, he's had a lot of success as offensive coordinator.
North Turner's not as bad as you think.
Well,
depending on which
he wasn't
you
all that impressive with the Vikings and the Browns. Before that, he was.
Well, not as an offensive coordinator. You know, he had a lot of success in San Diego. Could not win it all as a coach, but he had a lot of success with Philip Rivers and LT and whatnot there.
Yeah, might as well hire Dom Capers, too, if you're going to do that.
Well, I mean, Wade Phillips continues to get hired, and he's pretty damn good at his job.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Norm
yeah, but
not
I think some of these guys, the games has passed them by, and I think about Capers and Turner. Why didn't North Turner get a job this past year?
You know why? Because people probably, because he quit on the Vikings. Maybe his friends weren't in the right places this year. You know, it could be as simple as that.
Now, the last few years I saw him with Minnesota and Cleveland, I wasn't all too impressed.
All right, Scotty, we'll do
but
it all
he probably
again
wasn't
see
impressed
later,
with me either, so. All right, see you guys later.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk a little baseball. Matt Modica. Stick around. We'll run a extra. Let's be your way right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back now with you on the Roto Expert program. Matt Modica hanging out after having a little break there.
A little coffee break.
A little coffee break.
Tea. I did a coffee
today
in the morning and now
tea today. How about
tea
that?
Up.
All right. Let's talk a little baseball here with you, Matt. And today I want to start one of the guys you were tweeting about yesterday, and that was Carlos Martinez. You're after, you've been on record in saying 220 innings is 200 innings is the new 220, mm-hmm. and thus 180 innings is the new 200. If you can get 180 innings from a guy with 180 strikeouts, you're extremely satisfied with that player, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's your goal. That gives you a leg up. If you can get somebody that's going to come close to 200 innings, to 200 strikeouts, in this current starting pitching market, you're getting a huge leg up. And I know people don't like to take pitchers in the first round, and I get it. In certain instances, if I'm doing a 12-team redraft with trades, I can make the case not to go that route. In the leagues I play with, where there's no trading, you kind of have to pay that tax.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you can get that guy, and there are like a handful of guys that have been pretty consistent to do this. So, you know, it's, for me, it's worth it. And even Kershaw last year with 175 innings still was a great earner. I think he still finished, you know, maybe finished behind Kluber, and you know, Sal had the 300 strikeouts. But even with 175 innings, he still put you up there. He still got it done. I'm not advocating taking him with the number one pick anymore.
Right.
Something I did in the past. Mm-hmm. I think his NFBC ADP is like 5 or 6.
Okay.
Which to me, I can't pay that.
Okay.
You know, back injuries, 30 years old.
Right.
Back injuries, back-to-back seasons.
Right.
That's scary. You know, I'm not saying he can't go out and pitch 200 innings. I think Steamer has him for like 210 or something this year. And my initial thing with him had him at like 194. That's just raw numbers. I would bring that down to more like a 175.
Okay. So you're slightly lower than you were last year on a guy like Clayton Kershaw, which I think is interesting. Probably all really due to the injury, and that's okay. But one name I did want to bring up to you that didn't meet your quotient for your category over the last couple of years, which was what, Matt?
It was, it was 100. It was a minimum of 180 innings thrown with 180 strikeouts.
How many guys were there that did it over the last 3 years?
There were 35 pitchers total that, you know, that did it, but only 16 of them did it multiple times over the last 3 years.
Okay.
And there's a handful of guys, 5 of them, that did it all 3 seasons, and then you get another 11 that did it twice, 2 out of the last 3 years. So, I mean, there's not much out there. And what I've seen in this market, in my draft so far this year, it gets real sketchy real fast, and you're going to be banking on guys making either making a comeback or upside you're going to be paying a high price for.
Right. One guy did not qualify for that by missing out on about a third of an inning, I believe it said, was Carlos Martinez of the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, C-Mart has been kind of on the verge of being your fantasy ace for a while now, and he hasn't gotten to that point. Would you feel comfortable as drafting him as an SP1?
Would I feel comfortable? I could do it, yeah.
Okay.
For me, I could make the argument where he's the 12th pitcher overall. I couldn't put him any further than 18th overall. So he's in that kind of a range for me. If you're gonna take hitting in the first 3 rounds, and I could start my team off with Carlos Martinez in the 4th, I'll do it. He's 26 years old. And look at the numbers. I said it last year. I predicted a 350-ish ERA.
Right.
He got to 360-something or something like that.
Yep.
And 200 innings in the 200 strikeouts. It was worth it for me. That's not a bad year.
The question becomes, I was looking into it a little bit yesterday, if most people would feel comfortable with him in that role. I think ideally, once again, you want him as your 2.
Yes. Ideally.
The name that we talked about yesterday was Zach Greinke. Who would you rather have, Zach Greinke or Carlos Martinez?
Zach has got the track record. Martinez has the upside to, you know, put in that Cy Young. He's got to make some corrections. The left-handed hitters, he still has an issue. But he's shown he has the dom, and if the control is there, you got yourself a hell of a pitch.
So you're going with Carlos Martinez.
I'm going to take Martinez.
All right, there you go. We'll take a break. We'll get into some football when we come back. It's the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.